Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series called God, Romance, and Marriage. Please take your Bible and turn to Song of Solomon chapter number 3. Our text today that we're going to read is Song of Solomon chapter number 3, verses 6 through 11. Well, I want to welcome you to our teaching series, and what we're doing during this time is we're looking at a Bible book called Song of Solomon. And for most of us, it's a brand new study. Most of us have never heard much about Song of Solomon. And last week we talked about why that's true. Why do we neglect this book so much? And as we're looking at this Bible book, we're studying it two ways. One, we're studying it chronologically. And what I mean by that is we're going from chapter 1 to chapter 8. And this is a verse-by-verse study of God's Word and chronologically looking at the Song of Solomon. But we're also studying this topically. And the reason is because of the way this book lays out. This book lays out like looking at a love story drama. And this is kind of like a chick flick we're looking at here today or whatever, okay? And so it starts out with scene number one. Scene number one is boy meets girl. And we talked about that last Sunday. And the first thing is attraction. The first scene is attraction. This couple, who we're simply calling Mr. and Mrs. Solomon, and the reason we're doing that is we do not know her name. She's referred to as the Shulamite woman. We don't know her actual name. It describes where she's from. That's why she's called the Shulamite woman, but we don't know her name. We do know his name. His name is Solomon. And so we're going to refer to them as Mr. and Mrs. Solomon as we go through this love story. And so we see that they were attracted to each other, and obviously they liked what they saw because today they're going to get married. We're actually going to go to their wedding. We're going to go to their wedding. And today we're going to talk about tying the knot. Tying the knot. Now, we just saw a video that describes the perspective of a man describing the wedding and all the parts of it and that they remember and things like that. But here in Song of Solomon, it's quite the different story. This is actually Mrs. Solomon describing the ceremony, okay? Describing particularly her husband as he comes to the wedding. And so let's read about this in Song of Solomon, chapter number 3, verses 6 through 11. And we're going to see here, this was quite the manly wedding going on here, okay? This is quite the manly wedding going on here. It says, "Who is this coming out of the wilderness? Who is this coming out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke." Now, you got to note that because we're going to come back to it later on. I believe there's great meaning to that part of the statement here, okay? It's like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrant powders. Who is this coming? Who is this coming? Behold, it is Solomon's couch. He's got 60 valiant men around it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of the fear in the night. Then it says, of the wood of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself a palanquin. So a palanquin basically was kind of like an enclosed chair, okay? An enclosed chair. So just imagine he, you know, I'm sure he's like either probably being carried along. And so around him are these 60 valiant men, these warrior guys, and they got swords and all this kind of stuff, all right? Now look at this. This guy is decked out. Notice verse 10. He made it pillars of silver, its supports of gold. His seat is purple. And then this is my favorite part. Its interior paved with love. Isn't that cool? Guys, please, I'm trying to teach you guys how to talk to a woman here based on this, okay? Just say, baby, we're paved with love, okay? We're paved with love, all right? I mean, it's got all this stuff. It's got, you know, because you know what? If your wedding doesn't have love, you know, you can have all the fancy wedding you want, but your wedding better be paved with love. Amen? You know, you can have all the silver and all the gold and all the purple and all that kind of stuff, but if your marriage isn't paved in love, you got big problems. Verse 11, go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with the crown, with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding. On the day of his wedding. And I love this part. The day of the gladness of his heart. The day of the gladness of his heart. Here's this couple, and they are in love, you know? They're in love. Remember last week, she said, I'm just love sick. I'm just love sick. And they are attracted to each other. And out of that attraction, they make a decision. They make the second most important decision of life, and that is to become husband and wife. The first most important decision of life is, what are you going to do with Christ? The second most important decision of life is, what you're going to do for a companion. They are making that decision to become husband and wife. And man, Solomon does it right. I mean, Solomon does it right. I mean, he is coming on the scene, and he's coming across the wilderness, and there's a pillar of smoke, and there's myrrh, and there's frankincense, and there's all these fragrant powders, and he's built this whatever it is, and he's sitting up there like a proud husband-to-be, and he's all decked out. He's got silver, he's got gold, his seat he's sitting on is purple. All around him are these valiant men, these 60 guys, and they got swords, and they're, just picture the scene. It's quite the scene that we see here in the Word of God. And again, it says, I mean, this is their wedding day. This is the day of their wedding. And I love it. It's a day of the gladness of his heart. It's a day of the gladness of his heart. We that are married remember that day, don't we? And we remember the time when we made that decision in our lives. Well, with that as our backdrop, let's go to page 2 of our notes. And today what we're going to talk about is how to tie the knot. How do you make a marriage work? How do you tie the knot so the knot doesn't get untied? Well, here's what you got to remember about things. The reality is this: falling in love is easy. It's easy to fall in love. I remember the first time I fell in love. Her name was Susan Collins. I still remember this girl's name. It was like second grade or whatever. Man, I remember Susan. You know what I liked about Susan so much? You ought to saw that girl doing the broad jump, okay? I mean, now you got to realize, in second grade, I weighed like 130 pounds, okay? My broad jump was like this or whatever, okay? That's about all the jump I could do. I was a fat kid, okay? I couldn't jump, you know? But Susan, I'm not kidding you, Susan, I mean, in my mind, she could jump like 10 feet or whatever, okay? And I fell in love with that girl. Susan Collins. Don't tell my wife. Anyway, moving forward, okay? I just fell in love, okay? It's easy to fall in love. But staying in love, that's a different story, is it, okay? That's a different story. And what you have to understand is, it takes work. It takes work to stay in love. If you're going to have a marriage where you tie the knot and the knot stays tied, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to put forth lots and lots of effort. It's not just a matter of saying, okay, we had the wedding, we're married, we tied the knot, everything's great. No, no. I mean, honestly, you know, when people come to me about getting married, I'll say to them, you know, they'll say, we want to do this with our wedding, we want to do this with our wedding. I say, great, whatever, you just tell me what you want to do, okay? I'm fine with whatever you want to do. Just let's just do it. Because honestly, I don't say this because they'll start crying, but I'll say it publicly. You know, I don't care what they do. I don't care. I mean, that ceremony is going to be over in 30 minutes max. I'm focused on the rest of their lives. Okay. You tell me what you want to do the ceremony, fine. Now let's talk about you. Let's talk about not 30 minutes, but 30 years. Let's talk about the hard work you're going to have to do to have a great marriage. Well, there's lots of parts to that hard work, but today we're going to look at four things from this passage. Four works to do to make your marriage work. Four works to do to make your marriage work, and they come right out of this passage right here. Number one, speak often together. Speak often together. Now, what I want to do right now is I want to rewind to last week. Last week, and this is not uncommon for me, I'll probably be doing the same thing today, but last week was especially bad. I had too much stuff to share last week. Now, to my defense, this was supposed to have been a series that had one more week included. And I was going to do an introductory message. Then we were going to look at boy meets girl. Well, because of the snowstorm and not having that Sunday, it kind of messed us up. So last week, I tried to do my best to introduce you to the series and introduce you to the book and cover boy meets girl. Well, one thing I rushed on that was a big mistake, I just had to do it because of time, was point number one, speak often together. Speak often together. See, when it comes to attraction and boy meets girl, one of the things you want to look at is communication. I mean, communication is the lifeline to every relationship. And so, first of all, if you're going to tie the knot and keep it tied, you have to speak often together. One of the most wonderful things about Song of Solomon is we get to witness many conversations they have with each other. I mean, from chapter 1 through chapter 8, we see them talking. We see them communicating. And we need to take note of this. We need to take note of how they are communicating with one another. Well, Ephesians 4:29 talks about the importance of communication. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So this verse begins with what not to do when communicating with your spouse or anyone for that matter. And that is don't speak negatively. Don't attack. Don't tear down. God's word says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. A corrupt word leads to a corrupt marriage. And God is telling us, listen, God's saying, I got zero tolerance for this. He says, no, okay, no. In other words, just decide, okay, I am not going to speak negatively to my spouse or about my spouse. I'm not going to let a corrupt word proceed out of my mouth. I'm going to make that my standard, my standard. And then on the other side, you say, well, if we do that, we won't say anything to each other. Well, that's probably true of some marriages, okay? You say, well, what are we supposed to talk about? If we can't tear each other down, what are we going to say to each other? Well, here's what we're going to say to each other. But what is good, and I love this, necessary edification. Necessary edification. See, what we need to do with our words is we need to build up our spouse. We need to provide edification. Edification. That means to encourage. That means to build up. And I love that description, necessary. It's necessary. I mean, we need encouragement. Encouragement is necessary. Encouragement is needed. I love Hebrews 3:13. It says, exhort one another daily. Hebrews 3:13. Exhort each other daily. I mean, we need to make major edification daily deposits in our spouse every day. We need to speak words of edification. We need to speak encouraging words to our spouse. And then how do you communicate? I mean, what style should you use? Ephesians 5:33 talks about this. It says, nevertheless, let each one of us in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, listen to me very carefully. When it comes to communicating with your spouse, you need to understand this passage here. This is, I believe it's the most important statement in the whole Bible, on marriage, right here. Okay? I believe this is the most important statement in the whole Bible on marriage. Because if you get this down, you're going to have a great marriage. If you don't get this down, your marriage is going to suffer. Here's what it says. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular, okay, notice, in particular, this is being specific, in particular, how are you to do this? Love his own wife as himself, that the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, what we have to understand is God knows how he made the male and the female. And we are different. We are not the same. Don't let this cultural nonsense out here in any way say that we're the same. We are not the same. There are males. God made them male and female. And with that, God made us differently with different needs. And here's how he made the woman, okay? He made the woman to have a need, and the greatest need being love. And he made the male, the man, to have the greatest need of respect. Of respect. Do men want love? Yeah. Do women want respect? Of course. But I'm talking about priority, okay? Priority. The priority's got to be that you understand, listen, when I see Debbie, I see a big L on her forehead. It stays there all the time. See, my baby's got, she's got an L written up on her head there, okay? You know that L is love. That woman needs love. And God told me to love my wife. And you know what I got up on my head? Do you see it up there? There's an R up there. That's respect. Respect. And the wife is to respect her husband. So what does this mean? This means that when we communicate, we have to communicate in a way that we're trying to meet that great need. So what that means for me is I have to communicate love to my wife. I have to tell her I love her. I have to tell her daily I love her. I have to tell her often I love her. Why? Because that's her need. That's her need. I mean, you can't have the attitude, well, I told you I loved you 10 years ago. If it changes, I'll let you know. No, women don't accept that, guys. That's not how they're made. That's not how they're made. Do you hear me? That's not how God made your spouse. God made your spouse to need love. And it's your job to meet that need. And one of the best ways to do that is to communicate it with your tongue, with your mouth, okay? Now, of course, beyond that, you need to show them with your actions, right? You know, your words aren't going to go very far. If you can speak loving words, but if your actions don't back it up, then your words are going to be pretty empty, right? So you need to follow up with loving actions. And then, ladies, here's the deal. You need to think when you're talking to a man, what's the most respectful way I can say this? Well, talk to my husband here, what's the most respectful way I can communicate this? And just try to learn about that and learn your man. Learn how he is and learn things that are important and things like that. You know, be careful correcting a man in public. Men don't do very good on that, okay? Just learn singles, kick under the table and things like that or whatever. I mean, but yeah, honestly, you got to think about this stuff. You got to think about this stuff. So let's look at the couple here and how they communicate. Husbands must speak with love to their wives. Now, we rushed through these passages last week. I want to come back and read them a little slower. All right, so here is Mr. Solomon talking to, at this time, it's his girlfriend. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Now, underline the two words, my love, my love. Now, you might recall that there are 15 species of animals mentioned in Song of Solomon. Remember last week we talked about what makes this book hard to understand? And we had a list of reasons why this is a tough book to understand. And one of the reasons is it talks about all these different animals, you know? Now, here it's talking about a horse. You know, so most of us know about horses to some degree. And he compares her to a horse. I do not recommend you do this at home, by the way, okay? But back in that day, I guess it was cool or whatever. I don't know if it was the horse's face or the horse's rear end, or I'm not sure what it was, okay? He says, I've compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. My love, my love. Guys, are you taking notes? Don't use horse, put something else in there, okay? Behold, you are fair, my love. Circle under words, my love. Behold, you're fair, exclamation marks. Behold, you're fair. Behold, you're fair, my love. You have dove's eyes. He's getting a little bit better, calling her a dove rather than a horse. I mean, he's making progress, you know. You know, from chapter 1, verse 9, 6 verses later, he's picked up the quality, okay? Again, there's 15 species of animals in Song of Solomon. Then there are 21 species of plants in Song of Solomon. 21 species of plants. Don't forget, this is, if you missed last week's message, I spent 10, 15 minutes talking about how hard this book is to understand and why. All right? So here he mentions a plant that most of us are familiar with, the lily. You know, he mentions many plants. I don't even know what they are, okay? But I got this one. He says, you're like a lily among the thorns. Baby, you're like a lily among the thorns. So my love, circle those two words, my love among the daughters. You see, he is speaking to her in a loving fashion. And then chapter 2, verse 14, it's not in your notes. Let's read it in your Bible, okay? Chapter 2, verse 14. Here's another one. Chapter 2, verse 14. It says, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Isn't that good? So it's so quiet in here right now, okay? Sometimes you're going to do this when we're preaching on this. Particularly next week, we're going to talk about sex. You're going to go, is this the Bible? The Holy Bible? Yep, it's the Holy Bible. See, God's the one who created romance. Did you know that? Not Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner knows all about lust. He knows nothing about love, okay? Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliffs, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. Husbands must speak with love to their wives. And then wives must speak with respect to their husbands. Wives must speak with respect to their husbands. And there are the three verses that we looked at last week. We didn't really look at them. I'm not going to look at them today either. Okay, but I want to go to the top of page 3 because we have a time issue today as well. We always have a time issue. Okay? But look at the top of page 3. I want to note this one. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle, like a young stag. Call your guy a young stag, you won't have to worry about Viagra or anything else, whatever, okay? You're like a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. See how she's speaking to this guy? Yeah. My man, he's leaping upon the mountains. Not you're a loser. You've never done anything right in your whole life. No! He's leaping on the mountains. He's skipping upon the hills. My beloved's like a gazelle. He's like a young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, gazing through the lattice. That'll work for you, ladies, right there, okay? Wives must speak with respect to their husbands, you know? Speak often together. The work of marriage requires communication. We have to communicate, and not just communicate, we have to use our tongue, our words, to build up each other. And we have to understand the way I best build up Debbie is by speaking love into her life. And the best way she builds me up is by speaking respect into my life. Number 2, spend time together. The work of marriage requires spending time together. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Underline the two words, come away. Come away. Let's come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig trees put forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Sir, again, underline it. Twice, the invitation is given to come away. Come away. Come away. What is it saying? Let's spend some time together, you know? Let's spend some time together. Let's come away. What's the practical application of this in marriage? Keep dating after you get married. Keep dating after you get married. Listen, what you had to do to win your spouse, you have to keep doing in your marriage. You have to win your spouse every day. This is part of the hard work of marriage. And part of that is to keep dating. Now, men in particular need to understand this because of the way men are wired. And basically what we are, we kind of like have these different checklists in our lives, you know. And for most men, one of their checklist items is to find a spouse. And so they get in their mind, I got to find me a spouse or whatever. And so they go on the prowl. They go on the attack. They go after that, okay? And they know, okay, I got to do certain things to attract somebody to me. So they get into a relationship and they start doing all these nice things. They start doing all these wonderful things, including dating. And then lo and behold, they get married. And in a guy's mind, a lot of times what we do is we say, check, check. Got that one on my resume now. Got me a wife. Okay, got me a woman. Okay, whatever. You know, I got that one done. That's over. That's complete. Now let me move on to this. No. We never move on. Okay, we never move on. We have to keep dating. We have to keep saying, "Come away, come away, come away, come away, come away, come away." We have to spend time together. When was the last time you had a date with your spouse? When is your next date planned? You know, it doesn't, I mean, we live in such a cool area here, it doesn't have to take a lot of money. Just Google free things to do in Washington, D.C. There's a great list. I've done it many times. Free things to do in Washington, D.C. There's so many cool things to do around here that don't even cost you any money or whatever, okay? I mean, there's no excuse. There's no reason. You know, you cannot, I know it's hard when you're parenting, you have the kids, but I'm telling you what's going to happen is if you just put all your energy, invest all your effort into your kids, I'm telling you, one day they're going to grow up, they're going to leave your home, and you're going to look at that person you married, and you're going to say, who are you? Who are you? You can't let that happen. It's a fight. It's a battle. Priorities. Doing this. How are we going to handle this? It's stressful. It's difficult. It's hard. But you have to keep fighting the fight. You have to keep investing in each other. You have to keep giving yourself to one another. Say, come away. Let's come away. Let's come away. I mean, do what you got to do. I know when we were married early in our marriage, I mean, starting the church and stuff, we didn't have very much money. It was really tight. But back during that time, I'm just telling you the truth here, okay? Can you handle the truth? You must be getting ready to tell us something really good, okay? Well, what happened back during that time for many years, I mean, timeshares were like a huge industry. And so we would get in the mail these timeshare invitations. They'd say, you can come and stay at our place for 2 days or whatever, 2 nights, and just you got to see our one-hour presentation. Man, I'd get those things. I'd call up. I'd say, hey, I'd like to do that, okay? Now, at age 58 today, I do not own a timeshare, okay? I never bought me a timeshare, okay? I fulfilled their offer. Now, I got good at it. I would go and tell them, I just want you to know the reason I'm here. You know, we still got to hear you talk, okay? Whatever, okay? I was going to do whatever I could within our means to get away with my wife, you know? To get away, you say, well, I was just working the system, okay, or whatever, okay? And one time I almost did buy one, okay? Thank the Lord I didn't do that. But anyway, moving forward here, okay? The big industry now is trying to unload those things. But anyway, moving forward here, okay? Spend time together. Some of you don't have much money. Get on the computer, Google free things to do in Washington, D.C. And I'm telling you, everywhere around us, there are great free things to do. You don't have to have a lot of money. Just get away. Let's get away. Let's spend some time together. Number three, solve problems together. Solve problems together. Catch us, the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines, our vines have tender grapes. Here's another animal, okay? Here's another animal. Again, 15 animals, 22 plants. 15 animals. Here's another one, the fox. What did foxes do? Foxes would go in, and foxes would kind of dig into the ground and burr into the ground. And what that would do, that would break up the root system of the vines. So they were very common. They would go in, they would break up the, burr into the ground or whatever, and it would destroy the vines. And so part of their culture was keeping those foxes out that spoil the vines. What is it talking about? It's talking about solving problems. What are the little foxes that are coming into your marriage, destroying your marriage? Here's two to note. Number one, solve the fox of bitterness. A great marriage requires two great forgivers. So we have to mature. We have to all grow up and realize you're not going to be in close proximity to anybody without sometimes hurting each other. That's true in the workplace. That's true in the church. And it's certainly true in your home. There's no way in the world you're going to live with somebody as a husband and wife without sometimes offending each other and hurting each other. It's not a question of, if it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. And so bottom line is, one of the things that can happen is you can get bitter. You can get bitter. People come to me, they say, I don't love him or her anymore. You know what that person is saying? I am so full of bitterness and hatred towards this person. I don't have any feelings towards them. What it is they've allowed bitterness to get into their life. And what we have to do is we have to learn a lifestyle of forgiving each other. We have to learn how to forgive each other. Solve the fox of bitterness. Solve the fox of debt. Man, you got to realize there's no pressure like financial pressure. And so you got to learn to live within your means. Have a budget, Recognize, we got to learn how to manage money. That's why we have programs like Financial Peace University. That's why we have programs like Crown. I mean, Debbie and I have taken those courses multiple times in our marriage, Man, Larry Burkett, I'm telling you, that man, he's the one that started, it was called Financial Concepts back then. I mean, I'm telling you, without Larry Burkett and James Dobson, I'm not sure I'd even be married today or whatever, okay? Those two men poured into my life through the radio like crazy, okay? Solve the fox of debt. Solve the fox of debt. Solve problems together. What problems do you have right now? Don't let them become little foxes that get into your marriage and destroy the vines. And then lastly, serve God together. Serve God together. Now, here is the passage we read at the beginning. And I told you to note something. I want to tell you why I said that. It says, who is this coming out of the wilderness? Underline this, like pillars of smoke. Like pillars of smoke. Now, I think that statement was critical to her description. And I don't think she was just talking about it physically, that there were pillars of smoke. I think there was great spiritual meaning behind that. And the reason is because Exodus 13 talks about how that this was something very special in their culture, this idea of the smoke, the pillars of the smoke, because Exodus 13 talks about how God led the children of Israel and how that by day he led them a pillar of the cloud to lead the way, and by night he had a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. In other words, there was a pillar of smoke both day and night that God would use to guide his people. And I really believe when she says, I see this pillar of smoke, I don't think it just had a physical meaning to it. I think she saw beyond that, and what she saw was the presence of God. The presence of God. This pillar of smoke, I believe it spoke to her heart about the presence of God and the importance that we got to serve God together. See, here's the deal. Put God first, not one another in your marriage. You got to understand me, folks, okay? If you make your spouse an idol and put them first in your life, you're not going to have a great marriage. You're not going to have a great marriage. I mean, you got to just picture this. You both have to be seeking God, seeking Jesus, and you have to kind of meet in Jesus. You have to meet in Jesus. And there's many, I'm going to talk about this in the last message. We're going to talk about what causes love to last. That's going to be our final message on Palm Sunday. But one of the things that makes love last is staying connected to God, staying connected to Jesus. Because it's Jesus that can meet your needs, your total, absolute needs. And if you marry someone and you make them an idol, expecting them to meet all your needs, it's not going to work out too good for you. Because you have needs that no human being can meet, including loneliness. Is it nice to have a spouse? Of course it is, okay? But if you don't learn how to find satisfaction in Jesus with loneliness, I'm telling you, marrying somebody is not going to be your total solution. There's lots of lonely married people. There are lonely married people sitting in this room right now, okay? You got to learn how to find Jesus, okay, as your all in all. You have to learn how to find Jesus as your source for life. He's got to be your pillar of smoke. He's got to be the pillar of smoke in your marriage. You got to serve God together. So here's the deal, folks. Falling in love is easy. It's easy. To fall in love with Susan Collins, it just shabam, okay? It was so easy. It was so easy, you know? But staying, it was easy to fall in love with Debbie. Even more easy. Even more easy, okay? But I didn't stay in love with Susan because I didn't invest anything in Susan, okay? But staying in love with Debbie, it takes hard work. And it takes even more hard work for me, okay? Can you imagine being married to me? My goodness, okay? So what's the hard work to make your marriage work? What's the hard work to make your marriage work? Speak often together. Spend time together. Solve your problems together. Serve God together. Now, you men here that are married, I'm speaking to the married men in the room today. I want to give you a challenge. And the challenge is, I want you to step up. I want you to step up. And I want you to sit down with your spouse and go over these four things and talk about it. If you're a married man here today, I want to challenge you to step up and say, okay, let's go over these. How are we doing in our communication? How are we doing in our speaking to each other? Are we spending time together? Are we solving problems? What problems do we have now? What do we need to do to solve these? We don't want these foxes getting in and destroying our marriage, you know? And how are we doing on serving God together? Do that, guys. You'll be glad you did. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. And God, thank you so much for this book of Song of Solomon. Thank you for all the things we can learn from it. Lord, bless each marriage today. God, many here today, the foxes have gotten in. The foxes have gotten in. And I pray, Almighty God, that you would just help these marriages. And God, I pray you'd use your word to help them to go forth in a great way. Lord, if we're having a great time in our marriages right now, help us not to take that for granted. Help us to know we got to keep working at it and working at it and working at it. In Jesus' name, amen.